Hello, everyone, and welcome to our elite episode of the Get Authentic with Marcus Show. I'm your host, Marcus Ogden. On today's episode, join Ms. Molly Major. But before we get Molly to the stage, I want to thank one of our amazing sponsors, Agoge. Our brand is a proud owner, co-owner of Agoge. We are a health and wellness protein drink to help you get your health, wellness, energy back on track. Again, we're so honored to be a co-owner of Agoge. Now, here she is. Molly, how are you doing today, Molly?
I'm great. How are you? I was thinking I want to go get some Agoge if I'm going to look like you, in case somebody's just listening to this and not looking at the video. I encourage you to look at the video. That's me, my next stop today.
That's wholesome. Molly, that was fantastic. Molly, what does the word authentic / authenticity mean to Molly?
Well, it's funny because I was doing my homework on you and I was thinking, this is going to be good. What am I going to say? And then I thought, that's it. That's the answer. You don't have to think about what you're going to say. You just say it. So that's authenticity. Within reason, if that's what you think and that's what you believe and those are your core principles, you say them, speak them, live them as much as you can without telling your best friend she looks fat. You know, I mean, it can't be like a Tourette's situation, but just short of that, to me, that's what authenticity is.
Molly, you are absolutely hilarious. I love that. Well, I get it. There's both authenticity. There's also been being rude. So I love how you said, like, be real, be genuine, but don't go to the point where you're like just being rude and trying to be hurtful and trying to go over the top. That's going to be a little bit much. So
I have to give that caveat because it's like pot meets kettle, right? Like I'm the one that is going to be like, oh, great. Now it's time to be authentic. You know what? I've always thought that you were a little dumb. And I always thought, you know, I mean, so let's keep it in context here that we all still want to get along reasonably well.
We all want to get along. So Molly, tell us a bit about who you are, your backstory, where you're from, and what you're currently doing now in your business. And
then you'll need 6 hours. So I'm going to go as briefly as I can. So I am currently in Pasadena, California, where I live. I'm from Pasadena, California. Everybody thinks I'm from New York. I am not. I did go to school on the East Coast, though, so that might be the slight East Coast vibe. And I went to Georgetown. I got my business degree from Georgetown. How that happened, no one knows. But my junior year, kind of a big pivotal moment, was my junior year. Right before my junior year, I went to cooking school in Paris. And I was like, okay, I don't have anything specific to do this summer. Going to go to cooking school in Paris and I'm going to get a French tutor because, you know, I took French in high school like a lot of other people. And I was like, okay, this is good. So I came back and then my first week of class of my junior year at Georgetown, I had to do a speech on what I knew more about than anybody else. This was like for my public speaking class. And I remember freaking out and saying to my mom, like, what is this topic going to be? Because talk about being authentic. I was like, there is nothing that I know more about than these kids at Georgetown. Like I was thinking, I'm 10 seconds from like flunking out. So she's like, why don't you do it on French cooking? Because there's no way they know more about that than you. And I was like, okay, perfect. So I have that in my mind. In those days, this is how old I am. I'm going down in Georgetown to get my film developed for my trip. And I run into my professor. And of course, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, and I was like, I'm in your class and I'm so excited. And I'm doing my topic on French cooking. And I have an interview with the chef from 1789. Well, 1789 in Georgetown is like one of those very old school fancy restaurants. And I had never thought of having an interview with the chef from 1789. I didn't know who the chef from 1789 was. And I'm not big like liar girl, like let's just start. She's like, hey, that's my favorite restaurant. And I'm thinking now I've gone from, at least I had a topic to not get kicked out of school, but now I'm going to get kicked out of school for like lying about my sources, right? So I literally go home, I am in tears. And I'm just saying to my roommates, I'm like, what have I done? You know, I don't know this guy. And my roommate used to be a hostess there. So she said, listen, don't worry. They have this new chef from New York. And I promise you, this is going somewhere. They said they have this new chef from New York, and he's not going to know any difference that, like, he, you know, he can say no to the interview. So, because chefs are notoriously arrogant. And I was like, all I have to do is just meet him, like, talk a little bit, and then my conscience will be clear. So she sets up this interview. I go and meet him, and it's, like, in the bowels of, like, you know, these townhouses in Georgetown, like, where the kitchens are and everything. So I go down there, and it's, like, this dungeon. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Well, I take one look at him, and I decide I need to marry him. And I already have bad ADHD, so it's difficult to figure out how you're going to marry somebody that you're never going to see again, right? Because he works in a basement. And he's 19. He's, yeah, 19 years older than I am. And I still have to do this interview, and. So the whole time I'm doing the interview and I'm trying to assess the situation, and I'm like, okay, pay attention. Like, your life depends on it, because it did. And I realized two things. One, he didn't speak Spanish, and the whole crew was Latin American or Mexican or something that spoke Spanish. Number two, they had souffles on the menu. And so now I'm just doing this interview, but I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get back in there. So I somehow, you know, and like, oh, and I'm this amazing souffle person, right? And those are notoriously difficult for restaurants to have on menus because so many things can go wrong. And then I realized, okay, I'm better freaking up my Spanish big time. So I'm thinking I can be this souffle queen Spanish translator, right? That's going to be my little mouse hole in. And then I do my interview, and then I'm like, okay, well, you know, I was thinking maybe I should shadow you, you know, for a little more in depth. And he's like, for a public speaking class? Like, okay. So anyway, I go back once again in full hair and makeup, you know, shadow him. Anyway, I somehow convince him to let me do a couple more shifts. Of course, I become his best employee. I go to school every day till 2:30. I'm there 3 days a week, 3:30 till 11:30. And I do this for a year. And I'm like, but he never asked me out. So I'm like, how do you marry somebody that you never, like, go on a date with? So then I'm thinking, like, maybe it's an HR issue, whatever. So I go to cooking school. Now it's before my senior year. So I go to Normandy to cooking school. And I come back, and the whole summer I am plotting how I'm going to quit and ruin his life. Because right by now, I'm the girl that's picking up every single shift. I can translate for him. I make souffles. Like, I can make them in my sleep right now on camera. And just like, what am I going to do? So I go back. It's my senior year. And I'm like, I'm sorry to tell you, I have to quit my senior year too much. He's like, okay, would you like to go out to dinner? And I'm like, you're kidding me right now. Like, I have like scars from how many times I've burned myself doing those souffles. And now I go out to dinner by quitting. So anyway, yes, okay, net, we get engaged the month after graduation. How my parents and all that came around is an entirely other 12 podcasts. And then, but what do you do if you're going to marry a chef? You're never going to see them. So then you have to get in the restaurant business. So then I had to convince my parents that we have to get in the restaurant business and get back in California, because we're in DC, remember? So we, long story short, negotiate to buy this restaurant. We come back the following year, we get married, we open the restaurant, my whole thing. And I so resonate with your story, because I was like, oh my gosh, he is a brother from another mother. Because my whole thing was, I'm going to do $1 million in sales my first year. Now, I graduated at 21, so I am 22 years old, right? And I'm opening a restaurant, and I think I am the bomb. And I have this 20 years older chef from New York, and all these articles are written about this super chef and this girl. And I'm like, I'm going to do $1 million in sales my first year, which I do. One small problem for the listeners is that you can do $1 million in sales, but when you spend 1.1, it hampers the goal setting, right? You want to hit it and still be, miss that. But anyway, I am 100% drinking my own Kool-Aid. Well, guess what? Then talk about not being authentic. I am like living this, everything's perfect on the outside. Thank God there was not social media in those days. And I'm like, everything is perfect on the outside, but in the inside, I'm losing my mind, right? Because I have a business degree from Georgetown. Like, I should not have any problem whatsoever running a basic profit and loss statement and reading a balance sheet and all these things. But there was just so much always going on 7 days a week in the restaurant business. So I don't know what you think is the most romantic thing ever. or great for marriage, but I will tell you, I have found a secret. And that is, you know, when you are having financial trouble or work with your husband or whatever, the best thing I recommend it for everybody is just to have a baby, right? Because why not? You're then now you have another mouth to feed who also is a screaming mouth. And oh, by the way, you work 7 days a week, both of you. So then I was like, okay, the cappuccino machine. We make a lot of cappuccinos. It's noisy, kind of tucked behind. You can have the bassinet there. Okay, obviously it didn't work so well. Now I have this very bad skiing accident on top of it. Like the karma gods and everything are just talking to me and I don't like this. And then obviously now we're having marital problems. And my dad is like, listen, why don't you partner up for the restaurant? Like we keep getting all these offers from other groups and stuff to do it because thank God we own the land. And I was like, no, because I'll look like I failed. And remember, I am drinking my own Kool-Aid and selling my own Kool-Aid. And I mean, I am the bomb. I'm like, how am I then going to get out of this? And oh, by the way, now I'm getting out of this marriage and I have a one-year-old and, you know, I mean, it just the whole thing starts unraveling. Anyway, net, net, we cut this deal. He and I split. We're still best friends today, but we split. And then I'm like, okay, talk about come to Jesus. I should have lost everything. I almost did a couple times, but I was like this close. Hate to even say that, but anyway. Then I was like, okay, now it's 2000. I'm going to rebrand. My dad is like, just why don't you do the events? That's what you love is the parties. And by then in the restaurant, we had taken over a banquet operation. We had rooms that we would do events at there. We had started a catering company. So I had cut my teeth on that. I knew how to do it. So I was like, okay, fine. Now I'm at the lowest point in my life. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I decide I'm going to come up with the best name I can, which is The Party Goddess. Because I was like, I'm going to be in the gutter, man. I'm going to go big or go home. And I remember the first event I went to, like the first industry event where my boyfriend at the time, like introduced me and he was like, and I was like, I can't even do this. Like I can't. And he's like, you've got this. You know, when he introduces me as the party goddess. And, you know, LA is a very competitive market. And I remember them just being like, the what? The, excuse me. You know, and I just remember thinking, well, then clean your clock one. And I remember that day so well. Obviously, I'm still talking about it 25, 4 years later, whatever it is. And I was just like, you know what? This one I'm not going to fail at. But guess what? I still had a lot of the same issues I did with the restaurant business. You can't just chase sales. You can't just, you have to have a plan and a system to price. And that was the big thing. And I knew how to do it for other people, but I didn't know how to do it for myself, right? So long story short, again, in the same kind of issues, I start realizing, okay, I'm one of a billion event planners. What do I do to make myself stand out? Okay, I'm going to get celebrity clients. I'm going to get me a celebrity, which I do. So now I'm like, oh, well, I got celebrity clients. I'm back on top. But my dad is like, but are you making any money? Like, who cares? Like, I mean, if you're doing the opening of the Hollywood Bowl, if you're in the back in the same spot you were in before. And that stuck with me that night so much. And then my industry convention comes along in order to get a free pass, which was like $1,000-something. So I was like, you could teach a class and you get a free pass. I'm like, cool. I've come up with my little rinky-dink system about how to price by now. I'm like, fine, I'm going to do a class on this an hour, 5 o'clock to six. I'm out, have my martinis. And I do this class. And it's like standing room only. Now, mind you, I am telling the same story I'm telling you. I'm like, and I did. And I did this and I effed that up and I almost bankrupted my family. And then I almost did this and then I got divorced. But by then I was probably married again. Yeah, la, la, la. I mean, I am a train wreck of train wrecks, but all I'm trying to do is be like, I was in the class. I took the questions. Thank you. Next. And there was like standing and these people are asking questions after questions. I was like, ma'am, did you miss the beginning here where I gave the train wreck story? Because we can still see smoke. This accident is fresh, you know? And they're like, yeah, but you're the only one answering our questions. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I really realized at that point that, yeah, I was confused about pricing. And I didn't know, should I charge a markup or a percentage or a flat fee? And neither did anybody else. They were just going along, faking it themselves. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to tell you how I do it. But I feel like... Please sign off saying you're not going to do it this way. But what that did was that started this whole dialogue, and they were like, well, how can we follow up with it? And I was like, man, do you have a class? I was like, a class on what? On like how to wreck a train in 10 seconds or less? No, but that'd be a great idea. So then anyway, I ended up writing a book called But Are You Making Any Money? And that then totally changed my career because I was still doing events, but then all of a sudden you're doing events and you have celebrity clients, but then I wrote a book. So now all these TV things that I wanted to do, now they were happy to have me do it, right? Because I had celebrity clients. Ooh, they can say Britney Spears party planner is coming on to talk about. And I don't even think they cared what the book was about. But it resonated, supposedly, the producers would tell me, so much with female entrepreneurs because, you know, we have this imposter syndrome. I would coach people in the end who were like lawyers, top of their firm, but they leave to start a creative business or something. And they just weren't sure about how to price or how to do it. Same questions all of us have, right? But everybody's so busy, like acting as if everything is perfect and they have no problems and they're just the swans, you know, gliding on the lake. Well, it was like my lake was transparent, you know, and I was always paddling like hell and everybody knew it. I was like the swan in an aquarium, right? There was no way I could hide all my dramas. So that seemed to resonate with people. And then that's what got me here today is this party goddess component and this profit goddess component, both of which continued to grow. But then if you want to ask what I'm doing now, yes, I'm still doing that. But then I decided I was going to be a rancher. But since I haven't even given you 1 second to ask a question, I'm going to stop there and you can decide what you want to do with all that hot mess. There you go. Wrapped up in a patch.
Well, Wally, here's what I'm hearing, right? I'm hearing a lot of
noise.
Mistakes. I'm hearing a lot of things. Awesome. A lot of things that have happened and the ups and downs, the real life. And I appreciate that because I really enjoy people actually kind of open up like that because it's like the stories keep flowing. And I'm really hopeful that our audience learns from your mistakes. I tell my clients all the time, you hire me so you don't end up like me.
Exactly.
So that's exactly what it's about. And so I have two questions because you've really done a lot of interviews. I'm really excited by it. First question I have is, for people that are listening, right, what's one really big mistake you made in your journey that you hope people really heard loud and clear from that segment? Like, what's that one thing?
Super easy. You must have a system to price for profit. Period. No excuses. No, I don't have time. I'm too busy baking the cupcakes and selling them. No. I don't care if you're baking cupcakes and everybody else is charging $5 a cupcake. And you're like, okay, so I'm going to charge $5 a cupcake. You have to stop and just be like, what are all those components that go into it? Or if you run a bookkeeping service and you hire out other bookkeepers, or even if you're just a solopreneur, I don't mean just, but you're a solopreneur and you're a masseuse, right? And you're like, oh, I charge $150 an hour, right? And I'm always like, okay, well, how much do you make? And they're like, $150 an hour. Like, did you not hear me? And I'm like, no, how much did you make? That's very different. And that's what I walk through in the book, which is, yeah, you have your, okay, I took in $150 as the masseuse, right? But even a masseuse has cost of goods sold. They have the gas to get there. They have the, I don't care if it's 10 cents a massage oil, it's still 10 cents. They light a candle. I don't care if it's 1/100th of a candle that gets lit, right? I don't care if it's their subscription to Spotify for the playlist. Like, they still have to wash their sheets, their towels, or whatever. So the bottom line is you need to know, I'm a masseuse. I go to an hour and 50, $150 or $200, whatever it is, offsite appointment. It's X amount of drive time on each side. It's X amount of unload time. It costs X amount to wash my towels. I spend, and then at the buffer. And then here's, you know, 10% that I'm putting away for whatever, my health insurance, all those things. But you cannot do anything till you have that nailed. It can be nailed on a napkin, but you must have it.
And then you said about you have a book. Talk about what is the title of the book. And then last question, what is one big takeaway that people can expect to gain from reading your awesome book?
Well, the awesome book, thank you for that, is called But Are You Making Any Money? After that question that my dad asked, because it's really true. It's like you see all this stuff. Okay, but at the end of the day, but are you making any money, right? The biggest takeaway in the book, and it is so simple and it is free and everybody could do it right in this second. You must track your time. You track your time for 1 week. I can tell you, I could be like a blind tarot reader. You just deliver me somebody's weekly time thing and I will tell them exactly where the problems in their business are, because it is all a function of where we spend our time. And what happens is, without a system of like the whole, it's like one thing begets the other. The system of pricing for profit then shows you how you have to monitor your time. And then if I have no problem, somebody can spend 4 hours a day, you know, posting on Facebook and Instagram and all, and TikTok, as long as they could show me that those 4 hours, they're netting X number of leads, which turns into X number of clients, which turns into X number of whatever. But otherwise, you can't find the problems or see the patterns until you see that week in front of you and you go, God bless it. Because then it's, hey, listen, why are you picking up? Why are you running errands? Why are you taking your car for a car wash? Why are you doing this? Why? Because that took an hour. So substitute an hour worth of something that could be delegated to somebody else for 1 hour of your highest level activity. Thank you very much. Like, I just made you a lot of money if you do that every single day. And most people aren't willing to do it, but it's simple and it's free.
Molly, how can our audience get in touch with you? Where can they buy your book, website, email? How can people get in touch with you and figure out more about what you have going on with your, hey, how do you make a profit?
Yeah, easiest thing is book is on Amazon, super simple. And then just find me on Instagram at the Party Goddess, and you can find me, message me, and everything kind of, you know, flows from there. That's the big thing. But yeah, start there. The book and Instagram, imagine.
Ladies and gentlemen, what an awesome energy. What I really hope, well, I'll say that for a second. So again, this episode was sponsored by Gogi. Molly's going to pick up some right away.
You said, wait,
I looked at the farm, which is awesome. But the authentic tip of this great interview: in life, learn from other people's mistakes, and that way you can help to minimize, not eradicate, because that's not possible, minimize your mistakes. At the end of the day, you will need to learn from people so you don't end up like what they did incorrectly in their business. That's a huge facet. So again, learn from Molly's mistakes, learn from my mistakes. That's huge. Again, yep. My name is Marcus Ogden. I am the host of the Get Authentic with Marcus show. And one thing also, we have partnered with Ms. Colleen Greco, a mindset coach out of Boston. She's one of my clients. She's amazing. She can help you push through adversity, dark times. You heard Molly saying she went all the darkness. Oh, I'm going to have a kid. Oh, I'm going to do this. She kept making these mistakes. So people like Colleen can help you not make the mistake. People like Martin saying, hey, buy my book, make a profit. Don't do anything for free. Don't do it to lose money. Don't, I have a saying, right? Revenues feed egos.
Yeah.
Profits feed families.
You are correct. And
learn the difference.
Do it without a coach. Like I just always say, you can't read the label from inside the jar, period. You cannot see your own problems. You cannot fix your own problems, even if you can kind of see them. So you've got to get somebody like Colleen or you or whoever to say, this is the issue, because it's so much simpler for them to identify. You got to do the work, but they can easily identify it.
And again, my name is Marcus Ogden. I am the host of the Get Authentic with Marcus show. Thanks for tuning in and have a fantastic day. 3, 2, 1. Also, Molly, you were fantastic. Thank you.
I really enjoyed being on, and thank you for having me. And
absolutely. You were great.
How do you spell a Gogi? I'm going to do it right now.
Thank you for listening to Get Authentic with Marcus Ogden. Technical facilities and services have been provided by the Multiformat Network, multiformat.net.
Go most of you know, former NFL players like myself tend to have lots of chronic injuries and pain. What you may not know, though, is most of us feel like we are stuck in this pain for the rest of our lives. In our minds, it's just the price we have to pay for playing the game we love. I now know that this is not true. My shoulder was damaged so much from playing in the National Football League, but that for so many years, I had excruciating pain. When I would go to sleep at night and wake up the next morning, my shoulder was burning and I felt inflammation throughout my entire right shoulder. To be totally honest with you, I had given up hope and getting a healthy shoulder back. I then discovered stem cell therapy and Dr. Jeff Donatello at the Center for Well-Being. After just one treatment, I feel like I have my entire healthy shoulder back. The morning after getting treated, I woke up pain-free. And between you and me, I actually cried a little bit. I can now lift weights without pain in my right shoulder, and I feel strong, just like playing in the National Football League. In short, you don't have to suffer anymore. Stem cell therapy has come a long way in a short time here in the United States of America. It seems like most of my NFL friends are getting it done now too. And best of all, you no longer have to travel to foreign countries, but you do have to call Dr. Donatello's staff at the Center for Well-Being at area code 603-380-9159. Trust me, you'll want to do this right away. Have a great day.